Cup of tea to start the podcast, Matt, and I've given you the Donkey Kong mug.
The Donkey Kong mug. I feel like a prince, Tom. I feel like you've descended down to me as a royal angel and bestowed upon me a cup of great beauty and glory.
It's the first and only video game related mug in the house.
We have got some kitchen related things, though, that are video game related.
We've got Pac-Man cutters for...
We have
pastries or cakes,
cookies, and that varieties. We have oven gloves.
Oh, Pac-Man oven gloves
for when things get a little bit hot in the kitchen.
Get the whole Pac-Man kitchen ensemble, can't you?
You could, yeah. I think so. You just got to watch out what you eat, though, because otherwise everyone will turn into blue flashing ghosts, and then you got to track them down.
Aha!
Tom, Matt, tag. Terrible intros aside, how are you, Thomas?
You can't berate the intro straight away. You've done this too many times.
I feel apologetic towards our intro. It is a very nice Donkey Kong cup, though.
For those who don't know, we plan our intros at last minute.
The rest of the podcast is a roller coaster ride of scripted drama, but the intros, they're improv. And as you can tell, our improv skills
are important because, you know, they kind of set the tone for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, and we've bought it up already.
Well, we're talking about kitchen utensils, accessories, mugs, oven gloves, cutters. What is the name for them?
The cookie cutters.
Cookie cutters.
Simply that, yeah. Maybe we can actually market this podcast now under like Home and Garden or something actually rate in the iTunes charts.
But Pac-Man has been very popular in the accessories market, hasn't it?
It has. Really? Like, I have... Pac-Man t-shirt. I have...
Do you have Pac-Man ice cube makers?
I think I did. I don't know if I've got them here, but I'm pretty sure I got them somewhere. I have a Pac-Man lamp that changes colour.
Oh, yeah.
It goes wee, wee, wee. It doesn't make that noise. That would be annoying. That would be a terrible lamp if it went wee, 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 wee when you were trying to sleep. So it doesn't do that. How have you been, Thomas?
I've been all right. Yeah, I can't complain.
Okay.
Do I always say that?
I think
right,
so.
You can't complain.
Maybe. Oh, you're right, geezer. Oh, can't complain. No, oh, apples and pears.
Yeah, I wouldn't say my finger's been on the pulse of video gaming this week.
My finger has been back in 1990. So,
right up the back end of video gaming.
Exactly. Controlling video gaming like a puppet. Right up in the bits.
Well, I'm glad you have. But I've been playing the odd thing, shall I?
Yeah, I guess so, because I've kind of just been playing Game Boy things going off mad rant.
Matt likes his Game Boy games.
I do.
I've been continuing to play what I was playing the other week, Kirby's Dream Land 3 and Super Mario Kart. They seem to be the ones I quick pick up and play games.
Psyching yourself up for Mario Kart 8, which is dropping at the end of this month, I presume.
Yes, well, I'm very excited about that one. I was watching some of the videos of the comparisons of the redone tracks, for example, Rainbow Road and Yoshi's Valley, which I always hated. I don't know why they're bringing that one back. It's one from the N64 game with the split pass and the...
Do you know what? The N64 one is probably the one I'm least familiar with. Yeah. That Mario Kart 7.
First one
I played.
Like
7. Really? Yeah. Well, yeah, we've talked about your N64 love before.
Fondest memory of me from Mario Kart would have to be Double Dash, though.
You know, yeah, I agree. Double Dash. I also really like Super Mario Kart Super Circuit on the Game Boy Advance.
You do?
I actually bought that. There was a shop that used to be in Neath in South Wales called Fifth Dimension, and they had the Game Boy Advance when it first came out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, Japanese launch, so they had it like a year before anyone else. And my friend Dan bought it, and then a couple of months later they had a copy of Super Circuit. So I borrowed it off him and played it in Japanese. It was actually very, very fun.
It's a good one, so much so I was quite happy to trade in my copy of Mario Kart DS because I already had Super Circuit, and for my handheld Mario Karting needs, that would that fit the bill. And also the one that's most closest to the Super Nintendo one.
Yeah, definitely.
I might whip that out again.
I've still got it at
down
home.
Memory lane.
When I finally bring my Game Boy games back from Wales to complete my collection, then it'll it'll definitely be along with them, I think.
Yeah.
That and Golden Sun, I left that behind too. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not so interested in these Game Boy games that being re-released on the Wii U. I'd look at them today. I was looking at F-Zero for at Maximum Velocity and thinking, well, it's cost £6 something to download this game for the Wii U. It's a handheld game. It's a portable game. I can get it for much cheaper than that secondhand, the actual car, and play it on my Game Boy. And also play it multiplayer on my Game Boy, which you can't do on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Also, you have to look at a game that's made for a tiny screen, scaled up to a massive TV.
And if our occasional jaunts into playing retro games on our flat screen rather than our CRTs has taught us anything, it's not something you really want to do.
It's not. I'm looking at the videos on Wii U. Of course, it's connected to a HDMI cable. You're getting a much better quality picture than you would if you just plugged in your Super Nintendo into your TV. So there is that, but still, it's not made for that size screen.
Am I completely mental in thinking Nintendo are just missing a trick of just having something that plugs into the Wii U that lets you play NES, Super Nintendo, and N64 games from your original carts? Is that just me being a mental patient?
I don't know if
patient?
That would work, though.
It's got to be some version of emulation they can run, though. I mean, like, if they're doing, like, a Retron 5s and that ridiculously priced NES that was, like, a grand because it was silver and chromey, then, like, Nintendo must be able to do something, surely. I'm sure they must have something.
They want to sell you the same games again from the eShop. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, but surely they can just charge me 80 quid and I would pay that for to be able to play my old carts. But I guess this argument's been raised every generation and they never bloody do it, so it's not going
to
happen.
Now, at least Nintendo, one of the companies which do embrace backwards compatibility to a degree.
This is true. So. My sneaky theory is as to why they've launched Game Boy Advance games. Probably because they may release Mother 3, the sequel to Earthbound.
Okay, because of the success of
Earthbound, yes.
Earthbound, yeah.
I mean, it sold crazy well. Like, it got into the regular gaming charts because of its download numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Mother 3 has never been released in English, so there isn't even an extortionate cart. So they could probably earn a bit there, I think.
That would be a very good choice for Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's not just been Nintendo games I've been playing this week, though. While I was going to say dusted off my PS3. It's probably next to my Wii U, the console
most
I use most.
Used, yeah.
Mostly for watching films on. But I stuck in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle.
Yes.
That's the title of it, which I purchased the other week, and it arrived this last Friday. And yes, I like it a lot. I'm very impressed by it in terms of, the gameplay's good, you know, but it's how fluid it looks. Ever since the animation, it's lovely, and the way the camera moves within the game as well. To make things look extra spectacular. And the visuals. Oh, the visuals, Matt. As I said before, there's not many games that look this good. Cel-shaded games.
It looked amazing. Like, I remember seeing it when I was in Hong Kong last year, and I saw it on the screen playing because it was the big thing. It just came out in Japan there. And I almost bought a copy of it then and there because obviously the PS3 is region free, so I was like, I'll just get a Japanese copy and play it.
It's so impressive. And the difficulty level was good. I was playing through on normal arcade mode, and I was getting good rankings after the matches, you know,
cool.
A's and B's, and, you know.
Yeah.
So I felt like the game wasn't too difficult for me. Sometimes I find with fighting games, they're very elitist, you know, you have to be good. And now I'm not inexperienced playing fighting games, but I wouldn't exactly call myself an amazing player.
I don't know. I think you're pretty good.
Well, thank you, Matthew.
No worries.
But I was picking this one up and really enjoying it. Much more preferable than the Dreamcast JoJo game, which I never quite got to grips with.
Yeah, also on the PS1.
Oh, yeah, it was as well. Yeah. Good thing. Good fact.
Hey, Matt's facts.
So that's what I've been playing mostly this week. I don't think I've played much else, actually.
A bit of Halo.
Oh, yeah. On the Thursday night, I have a regular gaming session with a friend back in the UK. Long-time podcast listeners will know that very well. Hello, Gareth Tatton, if you're listening. We usually play the same games. This week, it was Project Gotham 4. It was Halo Reach. And Soul Calibur 5, the holy trinity of video games. Racing, shooting, and fighting.
Yes.
It's pretty good selection.
it's almost like sex and drugs and rock and roll.
One thing I'll point out to you, Matthew, is you cannot download the add-on content for Project Gotham Racing 4 anymore. You cannot purchase it. Gareth had the extra add-on for it. I mean, well, I want to take advantage of those extra modes the add-ons gave you. But nope, can't download them anymore.
Very interesting.
They're not available.
I guess
it does not even appear as a game on the A to Z catalogue on the store.
Wowzers. I guess it's because...
Bizarre Creations?
Yes, I can remember the name. Bizarre Creations are no more.
Yeah.
That's a
so
shame.
So their games are no longer supported on... I guess it costs to have your game up there on the
And who's
going to
pay for that then? Yeah.
So it's sad.
It's a bit sad, yeah.
Sad, because I think Project Gotham 4 still stands up as one of the best racing games on the 360. In my
it's all Forza now, baby. All
opinion.
Forza.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Forza, but yeah. Bring back Project Gotham, I say. Yeah.
Look, they will.
The only thing other game I've played this week has been Rock Band 3, which I had a crack on this morning. I purchased some tracks for it, actually.
Yeah.
I'm having a bit of a Black Sabbath kick at the minute. And the first thing I purchased was a Black Sabbath track pack, 300 Wii points. That was disappointing, because as it was purchasing it, the internet connection dropped. And I thought, okay, I'll just go back on and I'll try and re-download them. It registers as the points coming out of my Nintendo account.
Yeah.
But the game hasn't recognised I've bought the tracks. So I had to raise a ticket on the Harmonix website, which I haven't checked again yet. I imagine being Sunday, no one's got back to me yet. But
yeah.
Quite disappointed. It didn't stop me from buying more tracks, so afterwards.
What was in the Black Sabbath track pack? War Pigs, bit of Paranoid?
No. Sweet Leaf from Master of Reality.
Yeah.
NIB from, I think, maybe the first album. And I think it was War Pigs.
Yeah, I guess War Pigs have been there. I'm pretty sure I've bought that as a solo track in Rock Band.
Yeah. That was it. But... unfortunate. I hope they get back to me. It's not been the first time I've had troubles with the Wii version of Rock Band 3.
Yeah.
For example, losing... you have to have a certain amount of space on your Wii, first of all, to be able to use Rock Band, and that's confusing.
Yeah.
The songs download don't appear as files on your SD card, so it's very hard to see what you've got. I lost them all one day and had to re-download everything.
I remember that, yeah.
Oh, it's a ball ache. Really has been. If I'd have had an Xbox 360 at the time I wanted to play Rock Band, I should have got it on that format.
Perhaps.
But as it is now, I've got all the instruments and everything for Wii, so I've stuck with the Wii there.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, I also bought some Dio. I bought Holy Diver and... another track, I actually forgot what the name of that one was. It wasn't one I was familiar with, but it was good all the same. Ozzy, Flying High again.
Yeah.
Off Diary of a Madman, to listen to quite a bit just lately. And something else. Oh, I bought a Kiss track pack.
Wow.
With some great one. Deuce was on there.
Yeah.
Great track. 100,000 Years. And something else, which I forget what it was. Parasite. Yeah.
Okay.
So a good section of songs. And
all the hits.
Especially the Dio stuff is great to play, because there's really some really great solos on that.
Well, yeah, they would be, right.
Yeah, so, good tracks. You know, I look forward to playing the Black Sabbath ones when I finally get them.
Aces.
Well, I'll keep you informed, podcast listeners, so what's
I
going
think
on
you
there.
Should.
I'm sure you want to know.
I'm sure I'm already getting hit on Twitter by people concerned about your lack of Black Sabbath.
Well, I hope so. I need my Black Sabbath, Matt.
You do,
Tom. Bought, like,
you do.
Five Black Sabbath albums down the old record shop this last week.
Oh, really?
They were 50 kroner a pop.
Wow.
So I just cleared the back catalogue out.
Really?
I only owned two, Heaven and Hell and Volume 4, so I got...
I only owned Paranoid.
I got Paranoid, I got the self-titled debut.
Oh, is that where they were all on the dining room table?
Yeah, Sabotage, yeah. Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, Master of Reality. Yeah.
I thought you just fished them out as your prized possessions and we're going to hang them on your wall.
No, they're new acquisitions. I also bought a Beatles mouse mat and Gremlins, the board game, for 99 kroner.
Gremlins, the board... what?
Yes. Gremlins, a board game.
Why the hell aren't we playing that right now? Why is this being kept for me? Okay, we're going to have to set up a board game night and do this. Yeah,
That's enough for me.
Have you bought anything else?
Bought anything. Actually, yeah, if you want to hear my voice for
I can dive into some. I've played, as you may have guessed, a lot of Game Boy games.
I think he didn't want to hear my voice any longer.
Well, you've talked long enough, Tom. I played a bit of Battlefield 4 as well. I won't really get into that. I'm starting to enjoy it more as I play it more because I feel... Not only have I got weapons, but they've now introduced a party system, like, what, almost 8 months after its launch, there's now finally a party system
like
in place.
Party chat?
No, so you can, like, join games with other people. Because before, how you had to do it was you had to look at the right-hand side of the screen and there would be a section saying, players currently online, and then that would be your friends list who were playing. Mm-hmm. And you could join them. But now there's, like, a squad system, like in Halo or any other first-person shooter, you know, that thing that's been instated in every first-person shooter game for the past 20 years. They finally added that in now, 8 months down the line, which is great when it works, because it's very temperamental. Incidentally, if anyone wants to play Battlefield 4, we need to flesh out our numbers, because anytime we seem to go online, it seems to be clans playing on the PS4. Drop us a tweet at TMAcast, and we'll sort it out. You can have a play with us. Yay!
Not me, though.
Not Tom. Tom's... a strict pacifist when it comes to Battlefield 4. Doesn't believe in virtual violence.
Apart from Halo.
Apart from that's Halo. Fine, but that's futuristic virtual violence. That doesn't count. It's all right. Yes, I've been playing a lot of games on the Game Boy, doing my whole playing a game a day thing. I'll quickly run through them. I played a bit of Mario Picross, Godzilla, Mega Man, Dr. Wily's Revenge, Alleyways, Super Mario Land 1, and Yoshi's Cookie, which, as I told you earlier, Thomas, is the greatest game ever made by man. I love that game in a way I can't express.
High praise.
I have no idea why I like it so much. All the concept of the game is you have a grid of cookies that starts forming, and kind of like a Rubik's Cube, you can either twist cookies along vertically or horizontally. So you have to make a line the size, either the width or the height of the box. The height of the box. Thank you, Tom Parry, grammar extraordinaire. So, for example, if you have two of these kind of diamond-shaped cookies, if your grid is 2x3, you have to either have three of this particular cookie or two of this particular cookie, depending on the lengthways, and then it
I'm going to have to play deletes. Matt,
yeah, it's kind of really hard to explain without showing it.
Yeah, it sounds like it, yeah.
And there's a cookie which is shaped like Yoshi, which is a wild card, so essentially it can act as any other cookie.
How have I never played it?
I don't really know.
I get confused. I keep thinking it's Mario and Yoshi.
No, it's Yoshi's Cookie. It's a completely different game. It was released on the NES, and it's also on the Super Nintendo, but I believe the Super Nintendo iteration is only American. But I'm very tempted to get it on the Super Nintendo now because I found so much joy playing it on the Game Boy.
If you need to play on Super Nintendo,
I drained the battery dry playing it on the SP.
Get a plug for your Game Boy. My plug.
Yeah, but it's British, so I couldn't charge it up. And I was like, oh, well, I forgot to take an adapter. But yeah, that was my highlight of this week. So I'm going to talk about these more on a thing I'm doing, which you'll find out about if you follow us on Twitter, I'm sure.
Very exciting, I have to say.
Yeah, it's cool. I've been teasing it on Twitter over the last couple of days. So if you look on Twitter, you'll see some teaser images amongst our booty loot pickups.
That sounded sexy.
So what have you been buying?
Booty loot.
I'll let you go into it because I've got a gigantic list of games I've bought.
Well, mine will be very quick because we have heard a lot of me already. I did buy Kiss Pinball. I don't know if I mentioned that.
You did not.
I got around to buying that. Very affordable game on the PlayStation 1 there.
Did you buy it from T-Bay?
I did buy it from eBay. I will maybe play it when I'm back in the UK, but I've got a very busy weekend. I'm flying back this Friday and then coming back the following Monday. So I'm at a wedding. So maybe I'll get a chance. Maybe I'll just bring it back and we'll talk about it in the podcast the week after. The big purchase this week was the Neo Geo Pocket Color.
Yeah, boy!
Okay, I've wanted one of these for a while, and I finally got around to getting one.
Welcome to the handheld market, Tom Parry.
And I wasn't thinking, hey, you know, I could maybe buy all the games for the Neo Geo Pocket Color in the same way that Matt is buying a Game Boy
I'm
game.
Actually looking on Retro and Collect then, to see how many there
and
are.
And then I thought, no, that's stupid.
I'm checking.
I'll just buy the games I want.
I'm checking Retro Collect.
But I'm a fan of fighters, and I know SNK released a fair few fighters for the
As a fan of SNK and in general, like, most of the games are arcade classics that you enjoy, so...
Yeah.
You collecting for this system would make a whole heap of sense, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. And I've never used the console, so...
I have. It's kind of fun.
It's got a nice stick, hasn't it?
It has got a very nice stick. Something I wish that Nintendo had incorporated into their consoles.
Has it got a clicky stick or not? I know some of the...
I really can't remember. I just remember it being really nice. Okay. It's been a very long time since I played it.
I was bidding on one, which one point... It got up to £40 with £6 postage.
Wow.
And that was with one game. Good condition, though, apparently. This was a clear blue one. All right. And... yeah, I got outbid in the last second. It's over £41. And then straight after, I noticed similar items. They had one going for £31, £5 postage, I think, something like that, with two games. Same transparent blue one. It said the condition was good. Maybe not as good as the other one. We'll wait and see, but it said it was good. And came with two games, this one. Metal Slug and Sonic something.
Which is the game you wanted to play, if I'm not mistaken.
I was very curious about playing this. To my knowledge, it is essentially a remake of Sonic 2,
right,
which is my favourite Sonic game, but it's a little bit different.
Okay.
Different sprites and things. Obviously, it's the system, I think, is as powerful as a Mega Drive. So if I downgrade the graphics a little bit. But Sonic looks, I think he looks as he does in a Sonic Adventure game, so it's the newer looking Sonic Sonic 2.
Okay.
Which I could be mistaken, but we'll wait and see on that one. Comes with all the battery covers and everything. So that's always thing to look out for with portable consoles. It's got all the bits with it.
Well, as of this, I would say that Neo Geo Pocket is a very easy console to collect for. There are only 83 titles. Of
that's
those
the pocket
that are,
or the colour?
That is the Neo Geo Pocket colour.
Okay.
So that is everything for the Neo Geo Pocket colour, including the Japanese releases.
Mm-hmm.
As if you look at the Game Boy, the releases then go up to like 700 and something if you look at the Japanese releases. So that's very doable. Like, I'd imagine there's probably only about 20, 30 titles in English.
Yeah. I intend on, well, at least trying to get all the fighting games.
Well, that's pretty much
I'm
most of the games
in
the console.
I'm like the Card Fighter one, so
yeah,
Capcom SNK Card Fighter and things like that. Doesn't bother. I'm very curious about what Metal Slug game this is. If it's a unique Metal Slug game or if it's based around any of the existing.
I think it's based around the first, from what I remember.
Okay,
but I could be wrong on that.
Hmm.
Seems new to your pocket.
But we shall wait and see on that one. I bought another piece of, I guess you call it hardware, this last week. And that was the George Harrison Rock Band, Beatles Rock Band guitar.
Oops.
What?
You bought another guitar?
Yeah, but this is, I will go to home and I won't bring it over to Denmark.
Oh, okay, fair
and
enough.
The reason I bought that one is I've only got, for my Wii at home, I've only got the Paul McCartney bass. And sometimes I like to, when I have friends over, when I go back, play a bit of Rock Band. And I really like the quality of the Rock Band instruments over the Guitar Hero ones.
Yeah.
They just feel better to play, more spongy, like the frets, the fret buttons and things. So, and this is a nice thing to have and complete.
Well, of course, you
Beatles
are a big Beatle fan as well, so it makes sense.
So that was about £45 that one cost me.
Oof.
It's slightly rare and collectible, but very nice.
Yeah,
and I felt like it was probably worth it.
Okay, fair enough.
So.
So, what you ended up picking up today, then?
Ah,
quite a bargain,
well,
in
you
contrast.
Picked it up for me, which was for 80 kroner, a boxed Guitar Hero Aerosmith with guitar.
Yes, so now you have all of the Wii Rock Band
Guitar Hero
stuff.
Games, apart from Band Hero, which I'm not too bothered about.
I'm sad, like, I've seen it for 10 kroner. If I realised you didn't had it, I would have picked it up for you by now anyway.
I gave you a reason why I haven't got it. I wasn't interested in the game. Based on the fact that I don't think pop songs are going to be as fun to play as rock songs.
You never know, they might do something interesting with them.
I do find that the more popular songs I've downloaded on Rock Band, for instance, haven't I've been quite dull to play. Without the option for a solo, there's not as much fun to be had in those kind of tracks, I don't think.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm curious to play Band Here. I've never played it.
Yeah.
So maybe give it a go. I think it can be Taylor Swift or something. That's the only thing I remember.
Really? Is it that kind of stuff? Why you're not interested then.
Pop, but I think there's some more rockier tracks on there, perhaps. Okay.
Ace.
Anyway, I think that brings me to the end of my gaming plays and pickups, if you want to call it that.
Right then, I'll just jump into mine. Bought a lot in the last couple of weeks, Game Boy related. So I'm not going to list all the Game Boy carts I've picked up in the last week, because I've ended up picking up around 15, 16 carts, I think, that are new to the collection. There'll be a few trades that I'll probably post on Twitter if anyone's interested in swapping some Game Boy carts.
Ah, thanks, fun.
Nudge, nudge. I picked up Castlevania 2, Belmont's Revenge, which is a game I want. Castlevania Adventures 2, I should say, for the Game Boy. I also picked up Castlevania Legends, which, those of you who know your Game Boy stuff out there, is actually a very, very rare and elusive title. I got my copy for €15, so it's about £12, which is a very good price. I've seen ones in this condition that I have it, maybe a little bit better. Like, this condition I have, which admittedly isn't the best, like the label's ripped and stuff, and you can just make out that it's Castlevania Adventure. The gameplay's fine.
As bad as my Pokemon Yellow cartridge.
Yes, it is that state, yeah. But it's £12. Mm-hmm. There's a similar copy in that kind of same state on eBay at the moment for £50. I'll give you an example of how rare this game is.
Do you think that's overpriced, though?
Possibly, but a mint copy of this I've seen actually go at auction prices for about £70 just for the cart. So I'm happy to pay £12 for it, for a game I'm not that bothered about.
Yeah, sure. That's
just
a good
to have
way
it
of
in
getting
the collection,
that one without
yeah.
having to spend a lot of money.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm okay with it. I thought I paid a bit more for it than I did, and then I rechecked my invoice. I'd even sent an email to them going like, well, can I just buy the nicer looking cart, which is €2 or €3 more from their website, but I realised it was at a sale price. I paid £12 for it and not the thing, so I sent an email back apologising. But their website did list it as looking completely different to the thing arrived. But it's the first time I've had first time I've had a problem with this retailer, so I shan't name them. Not our good friends Games World, Boz, or Boz.dk is another retailer I use every now and again, just because they have good sales. I picked up Dig Dug as well for the Game Boy, because that was really cheap.
Dig Dug, yes.
Yes. So it's a game I've never played in any iteration.
It's nothing like Mr. Driller, is it?
I believe so, yeah.
I always get confused. I'm familiar with Mr. Driller, because I have it on the Dreamcast, but I'm not as familiar with Dig Dug.
Yeah,
but
I
understand it as being a similar concept.
It's pretty much the same thing from what
downwards?
I understand. Yeah, you're digging downwards. I really wanted, I've seen a few copies of it going up on the website I use in Denmark, like the free ads, of Boulder Dash, which is apparently a European exclusive, because I love the NES version, but every time I contact someone saying like, hey, will you sell that copy of Boulder Dash separately, I either get a flat no, or they don't reply. It's just like, they don't even know that it's a European exclusive, but...
Yeah, I've seen, I'm familiar with the title Boulder Dash. Is there a game called Boulder Dash XL or something like that?
Possibly, yeah. I think so, yeah, and it's got like a crazy robot or something on the front of it.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, I've got it for the NES. I think it might even be over in the corner. If not, I'll bring it back next time. But it's essentially, it's kind of like a Bomberman top-down style grid, and you dig around this level and you collect treasure and then you get to the bottom and go out. Mm. Kind of like a Spelunky-esque thing of you going down, but there's loads of baddies to kill you and it's very hard. It's good though. Right then, I'll run down the rest of them.
Is there a lot?
I picked up in a car boot sale today for 10 krona, Metal Gear Solid VR Missions, which is nice. I also picked up a copy of Puyo Pop Fever, which will please our friend Nostalgia Ninja on Twitter, because I've never played a Puyo game other than Mean Bean Machine. That was 10 krona as well. I then picked up...
Oh, I've got that game on the PSP, Puyo Pop Fever.
Yeah. I picked it up on the GBA.
Very
though,
colourful
so I...
looking box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Action puzzle game. Very much looking forward to playing it. I also picked up something else at the car boot sale this morning. Oh, it's your Guitar Hero. That's why I'm getting confused. I bought a copy of Secret of Evermore, a NTSC version of it for 150 krona plus postage, which is nice because a PAL cart is going for £45 and I really don't want to pay that when I've paid £10 in the past for box copies. Oh, I miss the old days, Tom.
Yeah.
And then my two interesting stories are thus. I went to a store in
I've been Horsens, waiting a long time for this.
Which is where I went. No, you've heard this one. You've seen the trove of games I brought back from Horsens. Which is the same place I went for Car Boot earlier, actually, the same town. And there's a shop there that sells secondhand stuff. And I hadn't been there for a long time, but I thought, well, I'll go there and check it out. Lo and behold, Tom, they're having a big sale on stuff. So I got some great PS2 titles that were buy one, get one free. I got Ico, I got Ligaia 2, I got Dark Chronicles, I got Tokobot, and I forgot what the other two were, but they were equally as good titles. Can't remember off the top of my head. Oh, Alien Hominid and something else. Anyway, doesn't matter. Ico and Dark Chronicles were my main pickups there, which admittedly I already have, but it's always nice to have another one for swaps. I got a copy of the Godzilla game for the GameCube because I think it could be fun for us to try that out four player, and you'd expressed an interest in it like in the past.
To do that.
I got a copy of a game called The Note, which is developed by Sunsoft, a first-person survival horror game for the PlayStation 1.
First-person, is it?
Yes, apparently so, which I'm very much looking forward to playing. It's supposed to be really quirky, and there's supposed to be really weird puzzles that, that are explained in the game, but they're very strange. Mm. Like, you need to leave the console on overnight to unlock a door, and all this kind of weird stuff. It's supposed to be really experimental. It's supposed to be really fun and totally batshit, so I'm kind of looking forward to playing it a bit. Then I got probably my highlights of the trip, as I've mentioned many times on this podcast and previous ones, collecting Game Boy games, not necessarily Game Boy Color games. However, for 25 krona for a factory sealed copy of a game and then two new ones, I couldn't really pass it up. Got a copy of Pop and Pop, which is a Taito game, which I can't remember what you told me what it was, the game of balloons.
Well, I'm not sure if it is Pang.
It is kind of a similar thing to Pang.
Where you fire like a little harpoon gun up at balloons.
It's, well, you fire balloons up at balloons.
Oh, you fire
then,
balloons up at balloons.
Yeah, your balloons you fire up at balloons, then create columns, you know. It's kind of like...
It's not quite the same, because the idea of Pang is to pop the balloons.
Yeah, well, you do pop the balloons by doing this, but it's kind of like Puzzle Pong or something like that, so you need to create three in a row. It's kind of like Buster Groove kind of style, but with balloons instead of balls, Buster and they don't bounce, they just go straight up.
Yeah.
And... yeah, it's kind of fun. A factory sealed copy for 25 krona, which I'm happy with. And also a copy then I could play, because they had a few copies of it. And then I got a copy of Backgammon as well, which is a very rare Game Boy Color game. And I also like Backgammon, so it's win-win.
Mm.
Then, Tom, the story that you've been waiting for. A good friend, Samuel.
Samuel...
Spider Sam Lego on Twitter.
Johnson?
Yes, Samuel Johnson was in the UK. His father is a car boot salesman. He sells toys at car boots. And as a result, he was visiting his dad, so he went along to a car boot sale. Now, he happened to be wandering around the things. I told him, well, if you see any Game Boy stuff, keep an eye out for me. And he didn't, but he sent me an image and said, any of these any good to you? And he presented me an image of Mega Drive games, which I am about to show
I'm
you.
I'm instantly interested.
Yeah, there was a copy of Fantasia, there was a copy of Cannon Fodder, there was a copy of Street Racer, and there was a copy of something else. But I was like, well, I know you've told me Fantasia isn't the greatest game, but I'd like to try it.
Mm.
And I wanted Cannon Fodder because I love that game, no end. And Sam said, £5 each. I said, well, see if you can get them for £8. And then Sam texts me back, goes, got them for £6.
Oh,
the guy knows you.
No.
Lo
way.
And behold, it is our good friend, the Retro Hunter, Ali, from Retro Asylum Podcast. So yeah, he got talking to Sam and said it's for his mate in Denmark who runs a podcast, and he said it wouldn't happen to be Matt, would it? And it was.
Oh my God, it's a small world.
It is a very small world. Weirdly enough, Ali was actually talking to Sam's dad a couple of weeks back and then messaged me and was like, oh, do you know a guy called Sam who works for Lego? Yeah, so very small world. Yeah, so that happened.
That's crazy.
So. Two of those titles, £3. Very, very happy with that. I love Cannon Fodder, and anytime I've seen it in a retro shop, it's been about a tenner. So I can't wait to get hold of it tomorrow and play a bit of it.
I own Cannon Fodder on the Mega Drive, and I can never get very far in it.
Really?
There you go. That's my story.
Have I told you the story about how my brother bought Cannon Fodder for the Super Nintendo, and why I don't own it anymore, because he sold it the next day?
Mm.
He bought a copy of Cannon Fodder, and he bought a Perspex see-through... unofficial Super Nintendo controller that had like auto and turbo buttons and stuff for him playing Street Fighter 4. It had a a very nice D-pad from what I remember, which is why he bought it, because it's what his friends were using to play Street Fighter 2 when they were playing it.
Street Fighter
2. And so he bought it, and he bought Cannon Fodder as well, because he knew it was a very good game from Official Nintendo Magazine back in the day. And essentially, within 2 or 3 hours, because my brother does not have the calmest temper when it comes to video games, probably why he doesn't play video games very much now that he's older, essentially just fucking screamed his head off, threw the controller at the wall, and he just smashed into a million pieces the day he got it. And so, yeah, he didn't take the controller back, he just took Cannon Fodder back the next day and said, like, oh, someone else has bought it for me and got his money back, and then just bought another controller.
You mentioned that about taking a game back and saying, oh, someone else has bought it for me.
Yeah.
I did that, actually, with a game I hated.
Really?
I bought a Yu-Gi-Oh game for the Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
I got it back home and I really disliked it. And I was quite young at the time. I actually got quite upset. I've really wasted all my money, all my pocket money on this. It's horrible. I don't understand it. I don't like it. And so I went back to Toys R Us and said, oh, yeah, a friend's already bought it me, like, for my birthday. So I got 2 copies now.
Yeah.
And I return it. And I got a refund on it, or an exchange. I can't remember. But I really didn't like that game.
Yeah,
I think as a kid, it probably made me cry.
Really? Is it really that bad?
It just wasn't something that I liked at all.
Had you played the Pokemon trading card game?
I played that and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's because it's a very simple system compared to Yu-Gi-Oh, in my opinion.
Yeah, but there you go.
Yeah, actually, funny you should mention that. My brother did exactly the same thing and took something back. 2 Toys R Us that he'd got for his birthday that he didn't like. And it baffled me until years later he told me the story. Because it was Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. Oh. My brother disliked that game so much, he was expecting something different. Got it home, hated it, took it back. And I've always had the map and the instructions manuals for A Link to the Past in my house, and I had no clue why I had it.
Because he didn't give them back?
He didn't give them back, he just took the game back and they accepted it. So someone in Swansea got a copy of A Link to the Past without the instructions manual and map. But I bought it again a couple of years later, and I had to ask him to come to the game shop in Swansea, which I used to go to, called Console Action, lend me £3 because I was £3 short to buy a copy of it. And he was ranting and raving to me, like, after I bought it, he's like, why did you buy that game? It's rubbish, it's terrible. Da, 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 da. And I was just like, what do you mean? He goes, I bought it for my birthday once and I hated it, so I made Dad take it back. And then I realised, like, oh, that's why we've had the instructions manual all this time.
Yeah. How about that?
Two stories about my brother.
I actually think I probably said I bought it for a friend, but you already had it. I think that was the one.
Of course, that's the one.
Yeah, that's the one.
My dad, fortunately, my brother's birthday is a couple of days before Christmas. They took it back after Christmas and said, oh, someone already bought it for him for Christmas and then took it back.
That's a great excuse.
Yeah. Yep. It worked. Well, it used to work. It doesn't work anymore now. Like in the day of optical media, like discs, people can just copy games, so you aren't allowed to return them, right?
But it's always been a problem with PC games when I used to work at Game. You know, really? No one could return PC games.
Yeah. Well, it's because everyone just takes the CD code and then you've got the game anyways.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to some news?
Oh, let's do that.
Big week in news, Thomas. I'll...
Is it that big?
I shall skirt over some of the lesser stories.
We know the main story this week, don't we?
We do, Thomas.
Oh, Microsoft.
Oh, Microsoft.
Oh, there you go again, going back on what you said you were going to do. Oh,
spoilers, spoilers.
Everyone's probably heard this.
Of course
by the time
they have,
Tom.
Interesting story by the NDP, which are an American association. They're essentially responsible for assessing markets and stuff. 74% of gamers prefer physical copies.
You're not talking about the Xbox story.
I'm going to talk about it later. I'm teasing it. Yeah, according to 74. The NDP, 74% of gamers, and these are referred to as hardcore gamers, which is the description of someone who plays games more than at 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah.
A week.
They play games more than they live their lives.
Well, I don't think that's true.
4 to 5 hours. Okay.
4 to 5 hours isn't that much. Like you count yourself as a casual gamer, and you probably play that, if not a bit more, than 4 or 5 hours, especially like your Thursday night chucked in.
Okay, yeah, that was an unfair comment of mine. I do apologize.
Yeah. So they looked at these people, and it's slightly down from last year because it was only 21% of gamers last year, so it was 79% preferred physical copies.
Hmm.
But yeah, this is apparently a very large independent survey with no ties to any console, and it usually conducts a couple of hundred gamers talking about this. So yeah, it's still going to prove to these companies who are trying to sell downloadable copies of games that there is still a market for physical games, which is nice. I myself have had trouble. I could have bought Kirby's Triple Deluxe on the 3DS, I'm holding out for a physical copy, so come find one in the shows here in Denmark.
You couldn't?
No, it wasn't in shops. Probably in GameStop, but yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
In other news, Halo 5 Guardians has been announced, Thomas.
Yeah. You know, it made me cringe, that title did.
Guardians?
I thought, and there's an horrible piece of artwork with like Master Chief and the reflection of something.
It's not
else.
Master Chief, Tom.
Not Master Chief.
It's a new character.
It's a new... I don't care.
It's a new character.
I don't care. It's even worse.
Oh, it's a new character. It's going to be Gears of War.
You're not going to play as... Master
no, 343 have stated that the character in Guardians is a new male protagonist. However, it is not Master Chief. So it'll be interesting to see that.
I've lost interest.
In conjunction with that, they've also announced they'll be releasing Halo 1 to 4 in a box set for the Xbox One called Halo 4 Master Chief Collection.
Original title.
Yeah. Great.
Halo 1 to 4.
Yeah, so I assume that includes ODST. And Reach as well.
And what are they going to do to the games? It's going to be the anniversary version of Halo 1. Is it going to be a redone version of 2?
Well, they've been talking about an anniversary version of Halo 2 for a long time, so I assume that's in there. They probably have HD'd up 3 and 4.
They're already in HD.
Yeah, but, you know.
They probably look about the same.
Yeah, probably. I would assume so. So, yeah, that's a bit of a shame.
Who's
going to
buy them, though? Oh, well. Everyone already have them. Or
well,
maybe
you know,
they've traded
them. Maybe there's people who want an Xbox One copy, you know. I've been looking at games that have been coming out on the PS3 and Xbox 360 and then going, well, I'll get the PS4 copy because I've got more longevity out of that.
Okay.
Maybe there are people who've missed Halo.
Yeah,
I doubt it very much. But
bring people back up to speed in preparation for Halo 5.
Exactly. It'll well, you know,
if
think about it. Like, what's that, like
DVD
5?
DVD box sets, isn't it?
If it includes ODST and Reach, that's like 6 Halo games for the cost of one game. It's not too bad.
That's
like,
not too bad.
Let's be honest. It'll be worth it. I mean, especially if they release it as a bit of a budget title, like a 40 quid mark, then it'd be great.
Yeah,
but they probably won't, do they? They're probably gonna release it at like 70 quid and include it in like
with a massive
an assault rifle,
yeah, Master Chief helmet. I was gonna say, but they've done that,
they've
they?
Done that. I've already got one sitting in my mum's. Other than that, we have one little extra bit of news which I'm kind of excited about. Nintendo are dedicating 90 minutes of a press conference in E3 to journalists. And
when
the
is
like.
E3, Matthew?
It's
do you know?
June, Thomas. June 9th to the 11th, I believe. So we've got about a month, or well, less than a month now left until that, which will be exciting. We should do some mini podcasts around that time, I think, and then just cover the events as they happen.
We can do that.
It could be cool. People have requested it from us on Twitter.
Really? Oh, okay.
They've been asking us what we're going to do for our E3 coverage, so it could be cool.
Good.
They're going to dedicate 90 minutes to a new 3DS game that's not been announced. Doesn't say if it's a new IP, but for example, they're going to be doing the same for Smash Brothers in the build-up to that release.
Big release, if it's going
well,
to dedicate
I guess
a whole
so.
90
I mean,
minutes to it.
If you look at the previous games they did this for last year, for example, and the year before was Mario Kart 8 was last year, as well as Pikmin 3, and the year before they did Skyward Sword in a similar fashion to this. So
it's going to be a game with a lot to show off.
It must be, right? Like, if they're dedicating 90 minutes to it. I mean, let's think. It could
3DS.
Be a Metroid game, possibly.
Could be a Metroid game.
I would assume it's probably going to be a Zelda title. Like, you were like, oh, not another 3DS Zelda game. But they could announce one for the
Wii
U.
Well, the last one did really well.
It did.
But can people really get that excited about another one?
Straight away.
So soon?
Possibly not, unless it's a Wii U one. But we'll see for their regular E3 press conference what that is.
I was trying to think what it could be. What Nintendo franchise? Metroid is a nice bet to place there.
Well, I think so. I mean, we've just seen a new Kirby title. There's been a Yoshi title. We've had a Mario RPG. We've had a Paper Mario.
It's not Tamagotchi Life. No,
no
that'll
already be out by then.
It might be a new franchise.
Possibly.
That would be
you can hope,
particularly
right?
exciting if it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you can automatically presume it's going to be an established franchise, but let's just see what Nintendo come up with. 3DS, it's still very innovative console. Maybe they'll do something with the 3D.
Yoshi's Cookie 3D.
Yeah.
Three dimensions of Yoshi cookies.
Of that.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'd be on board. And other than that, Thomas, Microsoft, a little news story, has revealed that they are going to be releasing a version of the Xbox One without the Kinect. You know, after that year of saying, like, the Kinect is integral to everything we're doing with this console.
Yeah. We will not release this console without the Kinect.
Until it gets, shit, it's the fan, and it's rumored that Sony are going to drop $50 off their console, and then we go, oh shit, then our console really will be $200 though, more expensive.
They haven't dropped it enough, I don't think. They should drop it another $50.
You think?
To compete with PlayStation.
Well, I think it's on price now, from what I remember, right?
I think it's still PlayStation is still cheaper, isn't it?
Not by much, though.
Well, they should undercut PlayStation.
Well, that would be the sensible thing, especially in the wake of rumours online that Sony are apparently going to knock $50 off their console because they've already met their stretch goal for this year, so they can afford to go cheaper to get it into more homes.
Mm. So funny, this Kinect thing, because it went from having it always plugged in to you being able to unplug
the Kinect,
to you be able to not have it at all. What is the future for Kinect? I mean, Microsoft were very adamant this was the future of video gaming. This is what set the Xbox One apart, mainly because they had this fantastic new Kinect. And it is a brand new Kinect. It's not the same one they packaged with the Xbox.
No, it isn't. I mean, apparently it's a lot better. Yeah. Voice controls, apparently, from what I've heard of other podcasts, it's just giant bomb. And people who've got it, like people on Twitter, have said that they use the voice commands to navigate the menu, because it's pretty... impossible.
80% of people are using it, I think Microsoft stated in a video.
Yeah.
So, and I assume that's what they're using it for, the voice commands.
Yeah, mostly. Apparently, yeah. They said that the average Xbox One user uses 120 voice commands, so I would assume that that means voice commands. However, that does not state how many are using it for games, which is probably a number that Microsoft is keeping close to their chest, because it's probably not very high.
And what opportunities do they have to use it with games at the moment?
There's not a lot.
Not a lot, is there?
Not a lot. And I think that's perhaps what's worrying. What annoys me the most is kind of obviously off the back of this hype train of like, we're going to use this all the time. It's never going to not come with one. Like, Harmonix are pretty fucked now, right? With their Fantasia game, which actually looked very, very nice.
I said, well, what is this? Fantasia? It's nothing to do with the Disney film.
It is to do with the Disney film. Oh, it is. But it's more modern music. It's this kind of idea of animation with... sound.
Oh, very
it
cool.
Looks very exciting. I'll show you it afterwards. Oh, yes. But yeah, that was a Kinect exclusive game that now I bet they're just like, oh god, because it's not out for another 6 or 7 months. And by that time, who knows, people might have packaged the way they Kinect.
That's very probable, unless there's anything else on the right. There's the sports game.
Well, the sports Kinect, rival
Kinect sports
game.
Rivals.
Yeah, who cares?
Well, no one's really cared that much about it. Since it's
I've
the original,
heard
have
the new one's terrible. I can't remember who it was. Someone was butthurt, some journalist on Twitter. I think he may have been working for BT or something. And was just like, well, I didn't actually get a press release copy of this game. For some reason, I've been knocked off the list for stating my opinions about Microsoft. So I give their game a 5. It wasn't very good, was what he said on Twitter. But I think that might just be a personal grudge.
You were reading an article before about the future of Rare.
Yeah, apparently.
And this directly relates to the Kinect, of course, because they've been responsible for developing Microsoft's in-house Kinect games.
Yeah, I feel supposed to come out and said, like, well, obviously, you know, now we're going to be in talks with Rare to see what they want to do, because obviously they're not going to be developing games for Kinect anymore, which means me to think that Microsoft is completely dropping their support of it now and going, oh, shit, which doesn't bear well for developers. But they've said, like, oh, well, we're going to get talk to them and see what they want to do. We can't force them to do anything, but blah, 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 blah. And then that kind of makes me laugh, because if they hadn't forced them to do terrible Kinect games for the past
what could they have done
12 years, then Rare would still probably be Rare, and they'd still be making good games. But there we go.
That's one of the biggest tragedies in gaming.
Well,
the loss of one of the greatest game development studios of their time.
Definitely. Shadow of a doubt.
They have created some of my favourite video games of all time, Banjo-Kazooie being a standout game, GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, Donkey Kong Country. You know, the list of classic games they've created is Jet Set, Gemini.
No, Jet Force Gemini. No, they're not Sega, Tom.
It's been so long since That game's been out. I've confused it with another game.
Does not age well, unfortunately. It's one of my favourite games of the N64, but it doesn't hold up. Yeah, Jet Force Gemini. Jet Set Gemini.
Jet Set Gemini.
Jet Set Gemini, podcast title. yeah, so they've said that Rare are going to evaluate what they're going to do. It's essentially more what we're going to do with Rare's IPs than Rare themselves doing anything.
Outsource them to other developers.
Hopefully.
Well, that's what they did before, didn't they, with Killer Instinct?
Yeah, they did. That's true. Well,
maybe we'll see a new Mr. Pants game.
Maybe.
Do you know about Mr. Pants?
No.
He was a Rare character featured on their website, and there was a puzzle game for the Game Boy Advance with Mr. Pants.
Oh, yes, there is. Yeah. And he's like a stick man.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember Mr. Pants. He's wearing a bowler hat. Yes. Yeah.
Bring back Mr. Pants.
Bring back Mr. Pants.
Maybe Sabrewulf. You haven't done anything with that franchise for a while, Rare.
No, they haven't.
That's apart from the Game Boy Advance game, I think.
Yeah.
Jetpack.
Just throw it out there, Tom. Throw it all on the line. Yeah, so the company that once was Rare, that is now Kinect developer, is going to make something new. We'll see.
Oh, that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. But I don't think Rare are quite the same studio they once were. They've lost a lot of those people who made the games.
They have. Well, you never know. Maybe some of the...
Conker's Bad Fur.
Yes.
Didn't mention it earlier.
No, you didn't. I was waiting for you. You didn't. You're throwing out things like Jetpack. Yeah, Mr.
Well,
Pants.
Jetpack's a bit of a classic. You know, you have to start somewhere.
True. Yeah, that brings us nicely to the end. Tom, what have we got to look forward to in the week ahead?
Releases. This is my new job for the podcast. I'm the release guy. So we have Transistor to look forward to.
Which I'm looking forward
to. Which is released on the PS4 and the PC on the 20th of May. Also on that day, Wolfenstein New Order is released on all Xbox platforms. That's the Xbox One, Xbox 360. And PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. I quite liked the last Wolfenstein game for the Xbox 360. Simply titled Wolfenstein, if I remember.
It was, yes. I will be playing Transistor that day.
Yeah, we'll probably won't get that one, so...
Probably won't get that one until it's in the bargain bin. Yeah.
Which it will probably be in the bargain bin.
I would imagine so, yes.
Perhaps
a shame, you know, it might be a good game, but I solely focus on Transistor.
There's a game released around about the same time, I think it's actually 21st, but I forgot to write down the day, called Always Sometimes Monster, which is an RPG drama concerning mental illness.
That sounds like my cup of tea.
Yeah, it's a grown-up RPG. It's on the PC.
Okay.
I don't know if it's available.
I wonder if
Mac
it's got Mac compatibility.
Yeah, but it deals with quite adult themes and such. And
sounds very interesting. What was it called?
Always Sometimes Monster. And Always Sometimes Monster. It looks like a traditional kind of RPG. The characters look quite cute, but it deals with more grown-up subject matter.
Interesting. That sounds kind of cool.
Killer is Dead gets released on the PC on the 23rd of May. Yeah. So for those PC owners who wanted to play that one, you can pick that one up. And Tropico 5, that popular dictatorship game, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a real-time strategy, I believe. Yeah. Kind of like Black and White, but with a dictatorship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never played any of them, so I can't
hold my hands up and say. Yeah. It seemed okay. Yeah. Like, I'm not really into that kind of game, but I know people who are, and they really like that.
Yeah,
series.
Yeah, it was. So when I used to work at Game, sold a fair few copies of that. People were into it.
Yeah. Mm. Cool and gang. Right, that brings us
to the end, I guess.
I want to give a special shout-out to one of our Twitter followers, at O-Deadpool-O on Twitter, a guy called Stu, who's very kindly donated to me some Game Boy games.
Oh, wow.
He asked me the other day, he said on Friday, hey, you still have the Game Boy games? I said, yeah, I'm still collecting them. He goes, have you got any of these? It was WrestleMania, Taz, Mario, it was the golf game from Nintendo, and a Bomberman game. I said, no, I haven't got any of those. And he goes, oh, great, cool.
You can have them.
Yeah, just send them to me for free.
We've reached the point where we're getting games donated to us.
Which is very nice.
That's really nice.
Yeah, I have sent him something as means of gratitude, but I shan't say what it is on this podcast.
Okay.
I'll tell you afterwards.
Is it not suitable?
No, it wasn't. Okay. Some saucy lingerie. Yeah, so please follow O Deadpool O on Twitter. I'll I sent a link out on Friday anyway as part of our Follow Friday, so you can find it there as well. What is our Twitter, you may be asking yourself? Well, Twitter is
a
thing where we can communicate with people 140 characters at a time. We do it very often.
You do.
At the address at TMAcast. You will find what me and Tom have been posting to YouTube in terms of video. You'll find links to this podcast. You will find us generally having a bit of banter with people, and you'll also find the things we've picked up in the week from car boot sales and the like. So, yeah, you should follow us there at TMAcast.
It's a lot of fun.
If you're not on our Twitter, we don't really tend to update it as much at the moment, which is a bit of a shame, probably because we haven't got as many followers on Facebook as we have on Twitter. But you can like us on Facebook. I mean, everyone's got it. Everyone is a slave to social media. So get on that Facebook. Give us a like. It's facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack.
Yeah, it's a good place to keep up date with the latest podcasts.
It is.
If you need to catch up, we post a week late. Yes, last podcast.
Retroactively. Whereas anyone else with business sense would post it the day of. I kind of post this podcast quite late on Sunday, and then we don't get around to posting it on there until the next week. But you know, you can listen to the archives. Tom was only listening to episode 16 a couple of days ago, where I said I was going to go on a mad crusade to collect all the Game Boy games.
Yeah.
And then what? 36 episodes later, it's come true. Huzzah! Yeah. And then you should go to iTunes, where you can give us a cheeky rate and subscribe. Pop in a review. We are holding
a contest. You're drawing all over the table,
moment.
Matthew.
I'm scribbling over the table, but it's a 4H, so we won't make a mark, so it's all right. Give us a cheeky rate and review on iTunes. We are holding a contest at the moment, where at the end of the month we will announce a winner for the best review. And
yeah, don't forget that.
That's yeah.
Nice prize.
With a great Pixel tea with our good friends at Games World Bod. And also 3 months of live OPSM. Get on board. Do it. Do it. Until next time, guys. Game on.
Game on.
Ooh.